Chapter 13. You used to work for the Baron? I asked and shared another quick, inquisitive look with Amber. The current Baron, with the fluffy hair and the snooty nose and the holier-than-thou attitude?
Yes, that sounds like him.
Sid let out a small, humorless chuckle.
But if you're using that to work out how long I'd been trapped inside a pair of pauldrons for, I'm afraid I couldn't tell you exactly.
Oh, she's quack.
Amber chuckled and then smiled across at Sid with her blue eyes sparkling.
We'll have a lot of fun together, I think.
So, I can stay with you?
Sid asked, and the moment she asked the question, her pale face lit up with sudden hope. Of course, I said, and then I smiled as I casually shrugged my shoulders. I'd like you to, but I can appreciate how different my world is in comparison to yours. I mean, it took me a while to adjust to yours, let alone how it must feel for you guys.
If I'm with you two, I think I'll be okay.
Sid smiled back shyly.
And anything beats being trapped as a piece of armor forever.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Amber whistled and shook her head.
The only reason I don't mind it now is because I get to talk to James.
So, if you know of this Baron, I said as I locked eyes with Sid's, that means we can at least say your transformation was relatively recent, right?
I suppose so.
Sid shrugged one of her slim shoulders and ran a hand through her straight black hair.
Why, what defines recent?
I was trapped in my boo form for years.
Amber explained, and she let out a slight giggle at Sid's suddenly horrified expression.
For years?
Sid whispered through her fingers.
Oh, gods, Amber.
Oh, it's okay.
Amber assured her with a comforting smile.
James rescued me, just like he rescued you.
I just wish I could remember how I ended up there, in that form.
Sid sighed sadly.
I don't remember anything.
Do you think the Baron knows anything about this?
Amber asked.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Sid said with a shrug.
I was just a part of his household staff. I wasn't anyone special. I just served when he held banquets and things for all the lords and knights. He probably had no idea who I was, and he certainly wouldn't have had any idea that I'd suddenly disappeared.
Will anyone be looking for you at all? I asked the newest addition to our little gang. Family or a husband?
No,
Sid said, and she shared a suddenly bashful smile with me.
No, I was orphaned when I was very young, and I never married or anything else with anyone.
My interest was immediately piqued, in the exact same way it had been with Amber. Then I noticed my redhead woman waggling her eyebrows at me knowingly, and I fought to keep my face in check so it didn't betray me with a smirk. It was interesting that Amber's immediate response was actually similar to mine. I hadn't thought about being with anyone other than her. But the moment Sid materialized in my dorm room, I was as drawn to her as I'd been to Amber. I just had a heart-wrenching, overwhelmingly sure feeling we were all meant for each other, and it made me happy that Amber could maybe sense it too. So, there's no one in your world who would be searching for you? I confirmed with Sid as I cleared my throat and shook my head against the intrusive thoughts.
No,
she said again. Her voice grew sad.
I had no one.
Well, you have us now,
Amber said, and threw an arm over the black-haired woman's shoulders. That's right, I agreed with a grin. Although I think it's worth going back through the portal and having a chat with the Baron. He might know something, so it's worth a shot, right?
We'll need to figure out a way to prove what you're saying is true,
Amber reasoned.
Even with magic in our world, you'll still sound like a crazy man if you go around saying you can hear the voices of beautiful women in your head every time you pick up a new weapon or piece of armor.
That's a fair point. I laughed, and even Sid cracked a smile. Okay, well, I'll stay covert a little longer, especially since the Baron is paying me for my services, and we'll definitely do some investigating.
You want to go now?
Amber asked with a knowing smile. I really need to sell some of these gold nuggets and get you both new clothes so we
can do that later,
Amber said.
Really, I don't need new clothes or anything. I just want to be by you and serve you.
Same.
Sid nodded. You guys don't know what you're missing. I chuckled. Women from my world love shopping.
We'll love doing anything with you.
Amber smiled at me.
But maybe we should start our investigation first.
Okay, I said. I could do with some dungeon crawling, maybe slay some monsters while I'm there to let off some steam. Then we can do some retail therapy.
Retail therapy?
Sid asked.
He wants to buy things to spoil us.
Amber leaned down to mutter in Sid's ear, but she shot me a smirk.
Our master loves pampering us. You'll get used to it.
I don't know if I will.
Cid said, but she smiled back at Amber anyway, and her almost black eyes gleamed happily. Then the three of us approached the closet that hid the magical portal, and I could sense Cid's trepidation. "It'll be okay," I promised, and put a gentle hand on her pale shoulder. "You'll be with me the whole time."
"I couldn't really talk to you last time, though,"
Cid muttered.
"I was quite tired."
"It might be easier this time around," I shrugged. "But don't worry too much about it. I'll look after you. And it'll come with time."
"Okay."
Cid nodded determinedly.
"Let's go."
I took both of their hands as the three of us stepped through the swirling gold gateway and into the other world. I felt my body pulled through the portal, and the now familiar stone dungeon materialized around me. I took a breath and looked down to see Amber's bow in one hand, and Cid's pauldrons were already fastened and secured on my shoulders.
"At least you look the part, though,"
Amber giggled as I inspected the sleek black metal armor. "True, thanks to Cid," I chuckled, and then decided to test the water. "Can you hear us, Cid?" I waited, but didn't get an answer, aside from the fact I could sort of sense that she was there, which didn't make a great deal of sense in my real-world ideology, but here, it didn't seem too far-fetched. "I can feel you," I chuckled quietly. "Don't worry, we'll sort this communication thing out. I could hear Amber fine even when I first picked her up."
"That's because you were in mortal danger without my help,"
Amber snickered playfully in my mind.
"But also, I'd been trapped a lot longer than Cid. I had time to practice. I didn't have anything better to do."
"That's a fair point," I nodded. "Amber, can you hear Cid?"
"Sort of,"
the redhead replied in my mind.
"It's like she's a ghost. Like the thoughts aren't completely coherent, if that makes sense. I can certainly feel that she's there. Maybe we need to figure out how to bond her to you."
"Bond Cid to me?" I muttered thoughtfully. "I have a couple ideas." I felt a sudden protective warmth spread across my chest, and I smirked.
"I think Cid might have similar ideas,"
Amber giggled. "I bet." I grinned as I grabbed my potions and then heaved the dust-covered book out of the closet, from where I'd stashed it after the vampire battle. "Okay, let's get this book back to the Baron and get some more hard-earned gold for my troubles."
"Good plan,"
Amber agreed as I climbed the tight spiral staircase out of the dungeon and into my secluded forest cabin.
"We could maybe do some digging around the castle, see if we find anyone who might remember Cid."
"That's an even better plan." I grinned as I covered the shutters and set off through the woods. It had been noon in Brooklyn, but the sun hung just a little lower in the sky over Hatton, which further confirmed my theory that the medieval town was the equivalent of a time zone or two in front of New York. I wasn't entirely sure on the logistics of time tracking between dimensions, but that was the easiest way I could make sense of it in my mind. The air was cool and light, and carried with it the smells of fall, and the earthy smell of damp leaves mixed with late autumn wildflowers and old pine needles hung low in the air as I meandered through the forest and took the same route the Baron's messenger had shown me. Before long, I saw the two hulking towers of the Baron's castle in the distance, and I trudged along the cobbled pathway with the ancient book slung under my arm. At this point, the two guards on the main gate I'd nicknamed Thing One and Thing Two just sniffed at me as I approached, but they begrudgingly let me pass when I shot the two of them a wide, shit-eating grin and a kindly nod. I marched my way through the castle and into the great hall, where the Baron was slumped across his throne, yawning as if even the concept of existing was exhausting.
"Sir Miller!"
he called out when he spotted me, and he raised a lazy hand in greeting.
"How goes your quest for the book?"
"Successful," I smirked as I held the leather-bound tome up in both hands.
"Wonderful news."
The Baron clapped his hands together gleefully.
"My soothsayer will be ever so pleased."
"And my payment?" I prompted with a grin.
"Ah, yes."
The Baron looked down his nose at me from where he sat, but he shared my same toothy smile.
"Be sure to visit the quartermaster again. He'll have your payment ready for you once you deliver the book to him."
"Your generosity is appreciated." I let my back sink into a half bow as I thanked him. The Baron just kept his smile in place as he watched me approvingly, and then he eventually nodded again.
"As is your service, Sir Miller," he said. "Hadden and I thank you. We shall call upon you if any more monsters threaten the peace of our great township."
I bowed and nodded again as I took my leave, and then I hurried through the castle to where Harold the quartermaster held his chambers. I knocked on the heavy wooden door, and the wrinkled old man eventually answered with a huff.
though his disposition lightened considerably when he recognized me.
Sir Miller!
Harold smiled gleefully as he slapped me on the shoulder and ushered me inside.
How are ye faring?
Fantastically, Harold. I replied to him with a smirk as I handed the book over to the old man. I was told by the Baron to come find you for my payment.
Ah, so you were successful.
Harold chuckled and nodded fervently.
Well, I expected nothing less, but yes, yes, I have your gold right here.
I took the pouch of raw gold nuggets from the quartermaster, refused a cup of tea from him once again, and then rejoined the rest of the castle to see if I could do any digging about Cid. I didn't want to ask Harold himself because I didn't want it getting back to the Baron that I was snooping, even if it had nothing to do with either of them. I didn't think the Baron would take too kindly to anyone thinking they could just ask questions about things without his knowledge. He seemed like the type of person to want to know everything, always, all of the time, so I kept covert, as I'd promised the girls, and wandered through the castle hallways in the hope I'd come across some servant girls Cid might have been friends with. The castle was unfortunately relatively empty, though. A handful of guards passed me, but the Baron was on such good terms with me at this point that I guessed most of them knew who I was to some degree. I only saw one other person in the whole castle who wasn't dressed like a guard, and I was surprised when he made an immediate beeline for me the moment he spotted me at the other end of the corridor.
Sir Miller!
The stranger called out desperately.
Is that Sir James Miller?
That's me, I responded hesitantly as we approached each other. Who wants to know?
The Baron said to find you.
The stranger panted as he skidded to a stop on the rich velvet carpet.
I have need of your services.
I studied the stranger as he fought to catch his breath and decided he was the most eccentric person I'd seen since discovering Haddon, and that was including Harold the quartermaster. This dude was tall and thin as a whip, and a shining mop of icy blonde hair framed his skinny, pointed face. His pale eyes were almost too big for his face and made him look like a permanently startled cartoon character, and he wore tiny wire-framed spectacles made from pink-tinted glass that perched right on the end of a long nose. He had several silver teeth, which I could see thanks to him literally puffing to catch his breath, but it was his choice of clothing that interested me the most. He was dressed in a full three-piece suit made from a pale blue and lilac-colored tartan, with a silver pocket watch hanging from a spaghetti-thin chain, and cufflinks made from some unknown pink gemstone that glittered fantastically every time they caught the light from a torch lit on the wall. His ears were almost entirely covered in intricate silver piercings, and he wore a pendant around his neck with one of the biggest clear gems I'd ever seen in my life. My services? I clarified as the stranger finally caught his breath.
Yes, he said in a desperate tone. I'm a merchant, and I haven't been able to travel my normal trade route thanks to a damn river troll, and the Baron said you were by far the best monster slayer on all of Haddon, if not the only one.
Ah, so you want me to take this thing out for you? I asked with an understanding nod and a grin. You understand I don't offer my services for free.
Of course, of course,
the merchant said with a fervent nod.
I offer you my diamond pendant as payment. I'd pay in coins, but I have a severe lack of those considering I haven't been able to trade.
The pendant will suffice, I quickly said and started to wonder how many carrots were currently sitting between the merchant's clavicles. Where is this river troll? I'm pretty good at killing trolls. The well-dressed merchant quickly explained his route and what he'd seen of the thing, which was very little considering he'd hightailed it away every time he tried to cross its path. It quite literally lived beneath a bridge, and I had to hold in the derisive snicker at such a cliché as the merchant fretted. I'll go now, I told him firmly. I'll get the route cleared for you so you can continue your trade.
Thank you, Sir Miller.
The merchant wrung his hands together and breathed a shaky sigh of relief.
I am most grateful.
I quickly made my way out of the Baron's castle and followed the river that split the town of Haddon in half. I'd only ever seen the northernmost part, where it eventually became hidden within the forest. The merchant explained the river troll plagued the southern end of the river, and his usual route ended up at the coastal villages. But he hadn't been able to reach them for a good while, because he hadn't been able to cross the river thanks to the beast in his path. So, I set off through the market town and headed toward the coast. The hustle and bustle of Haddon eventually petered out into the medieval town's equivalent of the suburbs, where the outer beaten tracks were literally just that, marked into the dirt with no cobblestones, and just a few haphazard wooden signs to guide people on their way. The only true road, or Haddon's equivalent of a road outside of the town walls, was a winding stone pathway
That might have been just about wide enough to be able to fit a small carriage or caravan with a couple horses in tow. It didn't take me long to get to the bridge the merchant had mentioned, and I instinctively skittered toward the tree line the closer I got. For a brief moment, I wondered where the troll was, but then I smelled it. It stank like mold and algae on top of a pool, or like a corpse left floating in the ocean after a shipwreck, and it made my stomach turn even being as far away as I was. That thing looks far more intelligent than the last one I saw, I muttered darkly as I peered around the sparse trees on the riverbank and finally spotted the creature. It was a great brute of a thing, well over 8 feet tall and almost as wide, and it made the first troll I'd fought seem almost tame in comparison. This troll looked like it had some sort of water affinity, which made sense considering it lived basically in a river beneath a bridge, and it was evident in its skin more than anything. It was a dirty gray-blue color, mottled and bloated and almost oily in texture, and the creature looked like a walking humpback whale, though far less elegant. Its beady little eyes were almost completely hidden beneath thick, blubbery folds of skin. Its jowls wobbled every time the thing took a labored, thunderous step, and I could see on its almost non-existent neck that it had weird flaps on either side like fish gills. It also had the exact same protruding brow bone as the last troll I'd fought, which meant I'd have to find another way again to get an arrow into its thick skull in order to kill it.
You can kill this one,
Amber assured me.
Plus, you have more protection thanks to Sidno.
I glanced down at the tattoo on the back of my hand and noticed the dial of the compass flickering crazily as it pointed to the river troll. Yeah, that's true, I murmured, but I was too distracted watching the great mass of blubber splash around in the river as it looked aimlessly for what I assumed was a meal. Though, it wouldn't have surprised me if most of the fish had rocketed out of the vicinity as soon as they caught a whiff of the thing in the water. I crouched low in the tree line and pulled Amber's bow over my shoulders, and then I carefully slid an arrow out of the quiver on my back.
What's your plan?
Amber asked in a quiet voice, as if she were trying not to interrupt me too much. Just testing the waters, I whispered back as I knocked the arrow, so to speak. I let the arrow loose and watched it sail across the bridge and into the water behind the troll. I wanted to test its intellect and see whether it was as idiotic as the last one. It would have been easy for me to assume, but I figured that was a surefire way to get myself into trouble. And it turned out I was right, because the troll immediately whipped around the moment he realized he wasn't completely alone. But he didn't stare at the arrow where it now floated harmlessly in the water. No, he was looking in the direction the arrow had come from, which was exactly where I was crouched in the trees. Shit, I sighed as my heart sank, and then I winced as the troll let out an angry bellow that made all the birds in the immediate vicinity screech and take flight.
I don't think it sees you yet,
Amber said quickly. Yeah, I think you're right, I nodded. So poor eyesight. That much we know is still true. I watched with pursed lips as the troll let out another grotesque bellow, and I could see as the thick folds of skin around its mouth and neck shook with the force of its scream that its teeth were an algae-stained shade of green. I've defeated a whole nest of vampires, I muttered mostly to myself as I pulled the two potions gifted by the quartermaster out of my pocket. River troll? On his own? Easy.
I know you can do this, James,
Amber said in my mind. Then a sudden protective surge coursed through my body, as quickly as a heartbeat, and I realized with a jolt that it must have been from Sid. She was telling me she was there too. I nodded to myself and released the stopper from the strength potion. Then I dropped 3 drops onto the tip of my tongue, swallowed, and quickly screwed the cap back on as my muscles grew and tightened beneath my skin. Oh, I will never get over how weird that feels. I let out a small laugh and shook my limbs out as the power coursed through my veins.
Try the other potion too,
Amber said excitedly.
Let's really annoy this ugly thing.
Yes, ma'am. I chuckled as I pulled the thinner of the two potions back out of my pocket. I decided to do the same thing and applied 3 drops to the tip of my tongue. Then I waited for a moment or two as the magic took effect. It was like a weird breath of fresh air, and I looked down at the back of my left hand to see my tattoo showed the potion's time-conscious effects. The marking on the back of my hand that was shaped like a skill tree showed the magic component as a vibrant blue instead of the standard black. And as I studied the supernatural ink, I could see how the magic branches had already started to dissipate into my skin, like sand in an hourglass running out. Cool, I murmured as I flexed my hand and watched my tendons ripple beneath the marked skin. I hunkered down by the tree line as the troll in the river continued to shout in my general direction, and I gripped Amber's bow tightly in my hand as I stared intently at the stone bridge behind him. It was actually quite big when I considered the road it joined to, but it needed to be since the river itself was at least a quarter mile wide. The waters were shallow enough that they swirled around the troll's ankles, and I figured if my predictions for his height were correct, it meant the water could come up well past my knees. Certainly not ideal battle conditions, especially going up against something as huge and brutish as a troll, so I knew I wanted to keep out of the water as much as possible. That meant I had to take my stand on the bridge itself, so I took a deep breath and honed every speck of my attention onto the smooth stone structure. Then I let it fill my mind's eye completely, and totally enough for the blink ability to work. I could feel a sense of disembodiment as the magic began to take hold, but I kept my focus on the bridge and my grip on Amber's bow as tight as I could muster. Then, suddenly, my eyelids dropped closed in a single blink, and when they reopened, I was standing on the apex of the bridge. Ha! I let out a triumphant laugh and looked around at my surroundings with satisfaction. But I regretted it the moment the troll in the water below me whipped around with far more speed than I'd previously given him credit for. The troll took one look at me and then roared again, and up close its gaping mouth was even more hellish. What I thought might have been saliva tendrils were actually ribbons of half-chewed seaweed and damp moss, and its eyes were actually stark and black beneath the blubbery mass of skin. And despite me discounting its eyesight, it seemed to see me just fine. Fuck, I muttered, and scurried back to the opposite side of the bridge as the troll began to move. It thundered through the water and sent sprays up in every direction, and I quickly grabbed an arrow from the quiver on my back as the creature scooped its hands into the water, took a running jump, and launched itself at the side of the stone bridge. The troll clambered up onto the rock like a disgusting, oily version of a gorilla, and let out another shriek as it used its back legs to push itself further up. Within very little time, the troll was halfway onto the bridge with me, and I quickly knocked an arrow into Amber's bow. I didn't even have time to let it loose, though, because the troll suddenly launched two flat river stones straight at my chest. I managed to spin out of the way of the first one, but it put me straight into the line of fire of the second, and the rock smashed against my shoulder. I instinctively let out a yell, but I suddenly felt the same protective surge from Sid all over again, and the black pauldron shone for a brief second on impact, as if they'd caught the sun. "Sid!" I gasped, and my voice was hoarse from where the wind had been knocked out of me.
"I'm here."
I suddenly heard Sid's serene voice in my mind.
"I'm here."
"I can hear you!" I chuckled as I quickly pulled the arrow and bow together. "Thank you."
"I'll protect you,"
Sid said calmly inside my mind.
"Now fight."
"Fire!" I yelled the command at Amber as I pulled the bowstring back and aimed at the river troll. "It's out of the water!" If I could set this thing alight without a battle, that would be even better. And Amber didn't even need to reply, because the arrow that sat between my fingers was already smoldering. I let loose just as the troll started to let out another furious shout, with its head leaned back and its face turned to the sky. I hoped the projectile would sink through his skull from the chin upward, like the last troll I'd slain. But no such luck. The fire ability in Amber's arrow fizzled and was snuffed out the moment it came into contact with the squishy blubber of the troll's skin, and the tip barely even sank an inch into its thick neck. The creature stumbled slightly as it landed on the bridge with me, and it took a second to reach up and yank the twig-like arrow out of its gray throat. "Double shit," I breathed as the troll brought its face down to stare at me and flung the thin shards of wood away. Its bulbous nose flared when its beady little eyes finally found me, and it grunted and huffed as its hands closed into angry fists. Without warning, the thing charged right at me, and I let out a shout as I spun on my heels and used my blink ability to send myself into the water below. I heard the troll grunt once above me, like it was momentarily confused, until it leaned over the side of the bridge and found me again. "I've got an idea," I huffed as I started to wade through the rapidly moving waters. "I need it to follow me under." It might have been slightly more intelligent than the first one of its kind that I'd gone up against, but it was still a troll, and it was still stupid enough to do exactly what I wanted it to do. The huge, blubbery gray thing launched itself off the bridge and into the water after me, and I made a point to splash and yell as I made my way through the current of the river and underneath the bridge itself. The river troll let out another rumbling roar and then thundered after me, but I kept my momentum up and shoved myself through the running water.
"He's gaining on you!"
Amber said in a shrill voice inside my mind. Good, I replied with a grunt. Let's confuse the bastard. I suddenly turned in the water just as I passed underneath the bridge and back out into the open. And the moment I locked eyes with the river troll, I focused my blink ability on the other side of the bridge. Then I took a breath, imagined it as clear as I could in my mind's eye, and felt the sudden rush as I moved. I opened my eyes to find myself now behind the troll, on the other side of the bridge in the water, and I let out a loud laugh, loud enough for the beast to hear me, so I splashed around in the water again until the brute spun on his heel and crashed through the water toward me again. I repeated the same process and waited until he got just close enough to reach out before I focused on the other side of the bridge and blinked across the gap again. The troll let out a furious, frustrated roar that sent scraps of algae flying out from his watery mouth like spittle, and I let out a maniacal laugh in return. "Over here, lughead!" I shouted and kicked the water so it sprayed around me. "Come and get me!" The troll bellowed continuously and ran full tilt at me again, and I blinked away from him just in time once more. This time, though, when he turned on his heel with venom in his beady eyes, I pulled an arrow from my quiver. "Amber!" I yelled as I knocked the arrow on the string. "Ice!" The arrow crackled and erupted with veins of frost in the wood as I pulled it all the way back. Then, while I was upstream, I briefly took aim, right at the water by the troll's ankle, and fired. The ice arrow whipped through the air and sunk into the water beside the troll. But that's exactly where I wanted it to go, because the river around him suddenly froze. "Again!" I yelled breathlessly as I knocked another arrow, and Amber obeyed once more by activating her ice power, so the blue gem embedded on the left side of her bow glowed with frost as I let another arrow fly. I aimed at the other foot this time, and the water immediately solidified around the troll's ankle. "Again!" I ground my feet into the slick stones in the riverbed and kept my footing as I shot another ice arrow between the creature's legs, until eventually it was surrounded by an almost perfect circle of pure ice. The troll screeched in surprise and pain at the sudden chill and immediately began to pound at the ice that kept its feet prisoner. Not what I had in mind, but I'd make it work. I pulled another arrow from my quiver and didn't even have to ask Amber this time. She'd already imbued her ice power into my arrows and was ready for whatever plan I'd cooked up in my mind. Maybe she could read my mind in the heat of battle, and I made a mental note to ask her as I sent yet another icy arrow into the water, just as the troll's fist broke the surface of the ice. As his arms sank beneath the water, the arrow froze it in place, until it only had one limb free. "Please be stupid, please be stupid, please be stupid," I muttered as I got another arrow ready, and then I let out a laugh when the troll did exactly as I thought it would do and pounded its only free fist into the icy water that surrounded it. I sent one last arrow screeching through the air until the ugly gray river troll had all four of its limbs trapped in ice. The only free part of its body that I could see was its neck, and as I watched its gigantic chest take a huge breath to bellow in frustration again, I used my blink ability to dart across the underpass of the bridge. I slid across the frozen water around the troll, with my bow held out before me, and another arrow already against the string, and then I arched my body upward as the water brought me to a point almost completely underneath the creature. It opened its ugly mouth to scream, with its head and neck tilted as far back as it could go, and I let my arrow loose as I slipped beneath him. The ice arrow hit home and buried itself deep into the beast's head, from the chin upward. It let out one long grunt as if it hadn't even realized what had happened, until it became limp above me. Because its feet and hands were still trapped in the ice, it didn't collapse on top of me, but I still quickly scrambled to my feet and away from the hulking mass of blubbery muscle that now remained still and lifeless.
"You did it!"
Amber cheered in my mind.
"That was brilliant!"
"Man, those potions really do come in useful." I chuckled as I inspected the tattoo on the back of my hand, just as the blue magic tendrils in the skill tree fully dissipated. I sensed the strength and the blink effects wear off as I took a deep breath, and I suddenly realized I was still submerged in the cold water up to my thighs. I took a long, shuddering breath to steady myself and put my hands against my knees as I regained control of my breathing. "I fucking hate trolls," I chuckled.
"He has a pouch attached to his belt, too,"
Amber suddenly said.
"Look."
I turned to where the heap of gray fat and muscle now lay in the middle of the water and noticed Amber was right. So I waded over to the body of the beast and plucked the soggy velvet pouch from its dirty loincloth with a disgusted grunt. My disgust soon turned to appreciation, though, when I shook another handful of raw gold nuggets out into the palm of my hand. Nice. I grinned with satisfaction as I pocketed the pouch of gold. And we get the pendant from the trader, too. This was an awesome quest.
You did great,
Amber said warmly.
You really were made for this world.
I mean, the potions helped. I laughed as I slogged my way through the rushing water and back toward the bridge. Speaking of, I found myself wishing that I could stop battling the current and focus my mind's eye on the bridge above me. But the magic of the transportation potion had already dissipated, so I couldn't blink my way up there. I don't think I'll be able to use this potion to get all the way back to the Baron's castle. I sighed heavily. That would have been really helpful, though. I clambered my way up the side of the bridge and used the jagged rocks as slippery hand and footholds, and with one last look over my shoulder at the felled beast in the river, I grinned to myself and started to walk back toward the town of Haddon. The traveling merchant couldn't have been more grateful if he'd tried, and I even saw tears well up behind his rose-tinted glasses, and I showed him the pouch of gold as proof of the creature's demise. I didn't show him what was inside the pouch, though, because I still wanted the shining diamond hanging around the merchant's neck, and I coughed and eyed it pointedly as the trader shook my hand.
Yes, yes, of course, here. Yeah.
He quickly tore the diamond from his neck and pushed it eagerly into my hand.
You have my eternal thanks.
My pleasure, I smirked. I know who to come to if I ever have need of anything.
Yes, it would be even more of an honor to serve Sir Miller, the Monster Slayer.
The traveling trader insisted as he grabbed my hand to shake it all over again.
Thank you, sir, thank you.
I bade him farewell and decided to head back toward my forest cabin, where I could find the dungeon that hid my portal and travel back to my dorm room in order to finally get some rest. Well, now that we've got another whole bunch of gold, a big fat diamond, and a free weekend, I said to Amber in a gleeful voice as I trekked my way back through the forest while the autumn sun started to dip below the tree line and plunge the world into a warm golden tone. We're definitely going straight to a pawn shop tomorrow. It's time for us to have some well-deserved retail therapy.